Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So we're going to go right to the fan hotline to talk to one of our favorite guests. And that, of course, is Chris Carter from DK Pittsburgh Sports, the NFL analyst and all around brilliant guy. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Doing great, Paul. Ready for the weekend, man. How you doing?
I cannot complain. And as I said at the start of my show, it's the first weekend of the green phase for what, since 9 weeks ago or something like that.
it feels like it's been 2 years, man. It really has been. When someone told me that, like, earlier this year we were talking about fires in Australia, I'm like, that was this year? That's how much news has been pumped into these past 6 months, man.
Yeah, it is. But, again, hopefully you're able to get out and about and, sort of start to breathe a little bit and enjoy the weekend, since we are indeed in the green phase now, and we are no longer in the, what was it, yellow phase before or whatever. and so there's that. And, you know, there's signs of that everywhere, Chris. One of them is that we have NFL coaches and things, even some players and whatnot, finally starting to trickle back into the facility. The NFL said they're allowed to do it today. And I'm sure you saw the pictures of Mike Tomlin, you know, getting his temperature taken as he walked in the building and all that other stuff. So there are really good signs that the NFL might actually be happening and happening on time, right?
This is all a good sign. You know, a 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step, and this was that single step. You know, seeing the coaches come back into the building. You know, we saw Tomlin. As long as everything goes well here, they just got to work their way, take their time, and make sure everything's done right. You know, people are talking about how things might get out of hand if multiple people start coming up positive for COVID-19 and how that could lead to a quick, you know, downhill. But I think right now it's just a very good sign to get this step going. Let's see how this next week goes with the coaches being back. Then let's see how that leads into maybe getting players back into the facility, not just for rehab, but for, you know, getting them acclimated to the game. And who knows, maybe sometime this month we're talking about teams actually holding a little bit of a mini camp. Because right now, you know, players, they might be trying to get in shape on their own. They might be trying to, like, learn the playbook on their own. But you still need that time just with the coaches before training camp, just being like, hey, okay, this is what I'm doing here. This is what I need to understand. Or this is what I've been working on in my personal workouts. And then you see, okay, maybe I should have been doing this. And that happens all the time. I think it should be very interesting to see if everything goes smoothly. It should be a very good sign for all the football fans out there that the season will be able to start on time.
No, absolutely. Chris, obviously the NFL, a lot of NFL players were at the forefront this week, voicing their views or their opinion when it comes to racial justice and everything else. And, of course, the Colin Kaepernick, Drew Brees issue and things. But yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, there was a video. I don't know. It seemed like it was about 4 minutes long or something that they shot where they really, I thought the message was extremely powerful. I don't know if you saw that, but it feels to me like the NFL players, when we finally do get playing, they're going to be probably more unified in a lot of ways than we've seen. I don't know about you, but I kind of get that vibe that, you know, this time around, it's not just going to be mostly, you know, black players, but there's going to be a lot of white players, you know, by their side as well.
I agree. I mean, you see a lot of people, they're not as scared to say what they think about this or to stand up in this on this issue. I mean, just not too long ago, Deshaun Watson, when asked about the protest, was like, I'm not trying to get into that. And you know, he didn't speak up in those moments. And now he's part of that video talking about, you know, talking about what's going on. He was involved in some of the protests. You know, he's being active. More people are speaking out. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was speaking on the issues and saying Black Lives Matter. And now even, you know, just it looks like about like 15, 20 minutes ago, Roger Goodell just issued a statement saying that the NFL was wrong and that they needed to acknowledge that Black lives do matter. And it's like, oh my gosh. I'm very interested to see how this year plays out, because with that CBA, there was a lot of talk about how the owners were going to try and restrict, protests, because that was that was something that they never touched in the CBA before. So it was all completely legal that they were doing it, or not just legal, but there was no policy that the players were breaking in doing so. And, there's been talk about, the owners were trying to work in the CBA, policies that would prevent them from protesting during the national anthem. Now here's a situation where after all that's been this spring and going into this summer, if these players come out and do a mass protest, what would the NFL do? Because we saw it wasn't just Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid this time around. It was Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, just superstar after superstar, Saquon Barkley. The NFL could not afford to lose that kind of superpower talent across the league. And if they chose to continue standing together or kneeling together just on this issue in defiance of the NFL, if the NFL tries to push back on them, that would be a very interesting battle, because there's power in unity, much like how you all are showing at the Post-Gazette right now, standing up for Alexis Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I think one of the things that's probably the most powerful about all of the stuff that's going on is that if you think about it, it's, Colin Kaepernick, when he did what he did, was a backup quarterback who, his best days were a little bit behind him in some ways. But now you mentioned, the A-list of A-list players. Patrick Mahomes's of the world. I mean, there are some, of the great, the greatest players and the best players in the league, the faces of the league in many ways, who are involved in this.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that when you look at the talent level that was on that video, the NFL can shut out a few guys and maybe even one star. But when you look at stars across the board, it would find itself in a really rough spot. And I think that's the recalculation that the NFL has had to consider, because, across the world, we were seeing people taking this issue a lot more seriously. And there was a lot more unification behind it, saying that, okay, we realized that we were wrong before when we weren't hearing these people. We need to get behind this. And now it seems the NFL players, at least through that video and a lot of the statements we've been seeing, and in fact, some of the emphatic statements against Drew Brees, letting him know how wrong he was, from the guys that speak up, even his own teammates and Malcolm Jenkins getting very passionate about his response to Drew Brees. You're seeing this sort of coming together by a lot of players on this issue and just saying that we can't tolerate this anymore. Enough is enough. And, I'm really interested to see how the league takes this, because, like we said, the league has a lot of money. They have a lot of power. The owners, they have showed that they are willing to go toe-to-toe with the players. And the players, the NFL's player union is one of the weaker unions in professional sports in America. But here right now, this isn't just a players union thing. This is either athletes standing up for a cause that they stood up for before, and they felt like they didn't get their voices heard, and now they're even stronger about it. And now the court of public opinion is leaning more to their side than ever before. So there's a lot of pressure on the NFL to get this right. especially when we're talking about sports all coming back in a jumble. There's going to be a huge competition right now between, you know, all the sports trying to, you know, hockey's really excited to get its chance to kind of show, hey, you know, we'll be exciting in the fall. You know, basketball is going to be doing the same thing. We're not sure if baseball is going to happen, but the NFL still wants to kind of show it's the king of things around here. And, you know, if it's in a state of turmoil when all this, when people finally get sports back, you know, I'm sure they don't want that on their bottom line.
No, absolutely. I think the one thing, and, you know, it's always a conversation that a lot of people don't want to have. But I think the one thing you've got to, if you're all of these leagues, you're probably, it's in your best interest to try and embrace what's going on and find a way to, you know, join in. Because I think the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want it to become, you know, so much of the story, you know, overwhelming that you start turning a lot of people off. And I'm not just talking about people who, you know, aren't with the movement. I think there are a lot of people that even would be for the movement who look to sports sometimes just to get away from the real world. So it's a delicate balance, I think, in some ways, isn't it?
It absolutely is that kind of balance, because you want to make sure that you're entertaining people. And a lot of people say, man, sports is my escape. I don't want to talk about serious things, but sometimes serious things need to be acknowledged. You know, a lot like how the you know, when 9/11 happened and the Giants came out of the tunnel, you know, in the first games after that, there was it was considering the seriousness of that moment, you know, along with the entertainment of it. And I think that these are serious moments right now. And there's ways to still have that escape. You can still root for your favorite team. I don't think that stopped. Just because these players have interests that are, you know, that are dealing with human rights and can, you know, make you feel uncomfortable if you're thinking like, well, man, like, man, that's a lot of thinking I have to do. You know, am I partially responsible? You know, how does this impact my life? There's more thinking involved. And, you know, some people, they don't want to think. They want to say, hey, I want to crack open a beer. I want to watch the game. I want to eat a burger. I want to have a good time and just enjoy this before I get back to work on Monday. And I get that sentiment, but sometimes, you know, we have to at least be able to consider hearing these issues that are really serious when they're serious issues that are impacting the livelihoods of human beings out here. So I think that, yes, that balance is important. But, you know, I think that the NFL, they realized that maybe they missed the balance in the previous attempt. And I'm very interested to see how Goodell's statement that he just made, that I still haven't even got a chance to fully watch. I've kind of had to read through the text before I came on, but it literally seems like it just happened. But I'm really interested to see how the players receive it and how, you know, that partnership between the players and the owners continues going into this season with this issue, because you know, a lot of people, you know, I like Bomani Jones a lot from ESPN. He says a lot of very smart things on the topic. But, you know, he's kind of basically made the point. He's like, you know, Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job in the league. He's the only quarterback at the age of 28 to complete over 200 passes in a in that season where they were 20 and then to not have a job the year after. And there's been over, like, I think 300, 400 quarterbacks that have done that. And they all got jobs after that. So, you know, it's kind of obvious what happened to Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, anyone that says that he wasn't good enough to play in the NFL is fooling themselves. His last year with a horrible team, with no offensive line, with no running game, with no passing, with no receivers to work on, and no defense, he threw 16 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions, and I think he ran for 7 more. And I think that he, if there was a talk that wants the league to bring him back somehow, not that I think that will happen, but I'm very interested to see how far the players are willing to go and if they're going to be fighting to get him back in the league. Just out of respect to the fact that he was kind of the figure that kind of brought this up in the first place.
You know, Chris, last one I have for you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I know that right now everybody is on the bandwagon that, you know, this is, you know, the worst time in our world's history and all this other stuff. But, you know, someone who's 50 years old, I can tell you, we have indeed made progress. my kids are going to live in a better world, at least in terms of racial, equality and justice and all those other things, than I lived in. And I lived in a better world than my dad grew up in. And my kids' kids, you know, we are taking strides forward. And I think in a very small microscopic just sliver of what I'm talking about is the subject of black quarterbacks. Because when I was growing up, Warren Moon had to go to Canada. He had to go to Canada for 5 years to prove that he was good enough to play in the NFL, and he's a Hall of Famer. When Doug Williams won a Super Bowl, it was like the most amazing thing in the world that a black quarterback won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a lot of really good quarterbacks that basically either had to go to a different position or, as Warren Moon did, okay, I'll go to Canada, win 5 Grey Cups, and then maybe I'll get a chance. And now, if you really want to really be, honest, I would say at least four of the 5 best quarterbacks in the league are black, and nobody mentions it. Like, nobody mentions their race hardly at all. You know, it's just, these are the great quarterbacks in this league. Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and I'm missing, who am I missing?
Lamar.
The other really
Lamar Jackson.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, and here's the other thing, Chris, we've seen a lot of bad black quarterbacks play, get cut, signed somewhere else. I think that's even, didn't Josh Johnson get about 5 or 6 different places or whatever before he finally phased out of the league. So my point is we have made progress in a lot of areas. We've got miles to go, but that's just one small little area, isn't it?
It is. And it's a good comparison because, yes, we've seen progress. But as Martin Luther King would tell us, progress doesn't mean you should stop. As soon as the Montgomery bus boycott was over, he was moving on. He said, we got to keep fighting. We got to keep stopping. And we can't afford to stop. We got to keep this fight going and realize there's so many other battles to win. You are right. It is completely different. I mean, few people remember Tony Dungy was a really good Big Ten quarterback for Minnesota, and then came to the NFL and had to be a defensive back because it just wasn't the environment for black quarterbacks. And for how smart of a player as he was, who knows what he could have done if he was given an opportunity to grow in that position the way that players are today. So, yes, there's definitely progress, but you still see the pushback. You still see, Lamar Jackson compared to a running back. I still see people say that Taysom Hill should be given, could be a franchise quarterback when really he's not, because he can run and throw the football, but you look at his stats and he's nothing like a lot of the other players out there that could be given the same opportunity. So I agree with you. There's definitely been a good deal of progress, but a good deal of progress is still not enough. We still have to look at the situations and see how it truly impacts people. The advantages that are given to certain groups, the disadvantages given to others, and ask ourselves, are things really happening? I think it's very interesting that all this popped off right after we were talking about the expansion of the Rooney Rule because there needs to be more black coaches in the NFL, and everyone acknowledges that. And not everyone acknowledges that, but a lot more people are acknowledging that. But I do wonder, with all the different things, elements of race in the NFL, how is this going to be impacted in this season? Will protests be respected if they happen? Will there be more black coaches hired in this next year when they get to the same thing for black GMs? Will conversations around black quarterbacks, will people be more a little more aggressive in defending them or passive in attacking them? Because I saw people more willing to go after Lamar Jackson despite him going ballistic this year. Say a Carson Wentz when he messed up or other players. So I think it's very interesting. I think it's we still got a lot of work to do, but you are absolutely right. There is progress. And I think it's a very good thing on your part to compare, black quarterbacks to, how it's worked in the country.
Chris, great stuff as always. And I hope you're going to have a great weekend. Thanks, man. Thanks for taking your time.
Thank you, Paul, and thanks again for you guys sticking up for Alexis Johnson. It means a lot to see you guys at the Post-Gazette doing that.
Yeah, hey, you know what, Chris? By the way, before you go, why don't you pump the – I saw that you're going to be on something at 8 o'clock here.
Oh yeah, if you want to watch, we're having a Bridging the Divide program on the WPXI Now app, so you can download it on your phone for free. It's also on Amazon Fire Stick, Roku. But it's a panel discussion between many Pittsburghers and political leaders, sports figures, and we're all having a sort of roundtable talking about what's going on right now. If you want to know how to help, if you want to know, you know, if you want help in sorting through your own feelings and wondering what the thoughts are of protesters out there, you get to download the WPXI app. You can go to the live stream at, you know, WPXI Now at 8 o'clock. It'll be going on tonight at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 8 o'clock in the evening, so that you can kind of get a sense from it. I think we had some very positive discussions there, and I do suggest that you join us because we had some really great panelists.
All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.